Today is April the 22nd, 2006. The weekly conversations with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have microphone privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Send the questions which are too personal and are not related to the teachings to questions@maitreya.org. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words, Continuously, Religious Groups section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom and welcome to the mission. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This word is released to humanity last week, and everybody now can understand and know what is the true name of God, or the word which all things has been created with. It has been kept a secret for last 12,000 years, and now it has been released to humanity to know what is the name of God. He is the nameless, formless, invisible, and eternal. The only name he has is the creative force that pulsates in the universe and is the essence of creation, and creation indeed has come to being because of this name and pulsation. For the last 25 years or so, it's been kept a secret in the mission, and only those who came close to the mission were initiated with it. The idea was that this word belongs only to the elects, those indeed who have meditating and awakening their spiritual forces for last 12,000 years, and now they are ready to dedicate their lives 100% to God and this mission and the call of the unity that has come through this revelation. Now the decision was made that if it belongs to the elects, it should be released to everyone, and elects indeed will initiate themselves in the presence of God and will hear the word and will use it 100% for his will, which is the creation of the community of light based on the eternal divine path and coming of the kingdom. So it is released to humanity, and anybody can go and read and understand how the name of God cannot be uttered in this external world, and any name and any utterance that we give as his name is not his true name. Indeed, Hebrews and Ishmaelites used to say in the name of the nameless. Therefore, they even knew that God indeed is nameless in this external world. And now all those who say the name of God is this or that, and they believe the word is the prophet or the Messiah in their own religion only, can easily go to our website, read about it, meditate on it, and if God's willing, will hear the word. But it's indeed a sword has been sent to humanity, a sword that can go toward bring the kingdom or can be misused and bring destruction to the misuser and others. That was kept a secret and was revealed only to few for last 20-some years, but now it is released with a very strong warning. Those who practice this meditation onward have to recognize and realize that they are dealing with a very sharp sword. Indeed, meditation on the word magnifies your shortcoming. And if you do not overcome them, indeed, they will overcome you. Therefore, we discourage those who are not elect or who do not want to commit their life completely to God to do not try to use the word. And even if they use it, if they do not want to commit themselves and heard the word, they should just forget about it and meditate on Hari Om Shri Hang Om Nam Kevalam only, our universal mantra. Although Hari Om Shri Hang Om Nam Kevalam is the most powerful mantra on earth, it is much more gentle and less powerful than the word. So go on, know that God has a name that is the creative force in the universe. It's within you. It is the calm place between breathing in and breathing out. And if you hear it, you know it. Indeed, that is the stillness of mind. It is the vibration that brings that peace and unity that all humanity long for. But there is a responsibility comes with the receiving the word and using it. That responsibility is you hear these words, you understand the revelation, you dedicate your life to the eternal divine path, follow eternal divine path, purify yourself, and work toward the creation of the communities of light and the kingdom, and that is the will of God. If you do that, of course, whatever is magnified in you as your shortcoming, you can overcome with the word, and by putting them in the light and directing the word toward those shortcomings, you can overcome them. Indeed, you can heal yourself with the word, with the vibration, and it is a powerful tool for the elect. But if you heal yourself, but you do not follow the will of God, your healing will not last long, and your state might get worse than you were before. So the responsibility is to recognize it is a gift from God to humanity. It is the name of God. It is being given to humanity to use. It is released back to humanity after 12,000 years. Before 12,000 years, they knew this word. They knew the name of the creative force or God, and they misused it. They brought great destruction on themselves, as we know in the flood of Noah and other that God has revealed to humanity in the Old Testament. So don't make the same mistake as before. Any selfishness and egoistical pursuit by using the word is very, very dangerous. It's dangerous for you, and it's dangerous for people around you and the humanity in whole. But if you use it correctly, you will eventually hear the word and reach the stillness of mind and unity with God. And in that state, of course, you will see the truth. And anytime anything happened, you can always go to that state and you know the correct answer for that situation. So indeed, in a sense, I have sent a sword to humanity to sunder those who are with God 100% from those who still keep their ego and do not come to full submission to the will of God. And indeed, this is the time of sundering. This is the time for humanity to recognize that God has been in charge and sending all the revelation to man. God does not have a name. He is nameless, formless, invisible, and eternal. He is in control. He is the spirit within every man and woman and child. And they have to recognize this spirit within themselves and become united with their essence, which is God. By doing that, more and more we will find people, they have the stillness of God within, and they are absolutely egoless and dedicated to manifest His work. Those who still have agendas or resist the will of God and they cannot get rid of their ego, of course, they will be separated, and hopefully in the long run, in many incarnations, they also will hear the word and become one with God. So again, the implementation of the mission is at hand. We are releasing the sword that God promised will come to humanity and will cut the unworthy and egoistical and those that are not listening to the word of God off from those who are chosen and are the elect to come together, create the communities of light, and bring the kingdom of God on earth. There is no religion that is not sent by God. There is no separation between them. And anybody who teaches anything else, they do not know the truth, and they have to be taught, and they have to learn that God indeed created their universe. He created the history. He said He will send all these revelations and religions, no matter how they do not appeal to our ego or our understanding or religion or nationality or gender or intellectually. The truth is, this is God's doing. And therefore, our opinion, ideas, attachments doesn't really make any difference. God has decided this is the way and the direction humanity has to go, and they have no choice. Indeed, it is not the Messiah who is powerful. It is God who has already put the action into motion, and the Messiah or the messenger or the prophet just comes and tell humanity that is God's decision. Now with this, of course, we will know that indeed even His name is different than all the religion and the people who think they know His name. He doesn't have a name. It is a vibration. It's a stillness of mind. It is the creative force. It is the Word. It is the holy name, and indeed, that was the prophecy. He will come in the name of the Lord. That means nobody else came in the name of the Lord before coming of this revelation. He has promised, He has fulfilled them to this point, therefore He will also fulfill the rest of it. So know that, meditate on that, and recognize nothing, no decision in your life is more important than realizing this and dedicating yourself to the will of God and His call. Nothing, whatever you think is more important than this, it is just your excuse. It is you trying to avoid the call. Those who truly are called for this revelation and the will of God, nothing else is more important to them, and they recognize anything else they bring up, it is just excuse not to dedicate yourself to God's call. Therefore, meditate, recognize indeed you are here for God. He has called you. He has sent us revelations. He said He will do all these things, and He has done them, and therefore He exists. His will have been manifesting all through the history, and now He said what is going to happen, and indeed it is happening. There is a question, Aquarian asking, are you all elects? Elects are those you know them by their fruit. There is no other criteria to know an elect but those who manifest great things and follow the will of God directly. And therefore, it is not how many claim that you are a great soul, or you recognize or realize that, or you can control the prana, or you can see the vision or angels or this and that, or travel in the ethereal level. None of them is what God said you can know them. The only thing he said was you know them by their fruit. Indeed, one of the reasons the word has been revealed to humanity is to see who is true elect, those who will manifest God's will and great manifestation and fruit. They will give fruit, and they are self-motivated. They are not looking to me to motivate them. If I do not motivate them, they will not fall off because I did not give them attention. But their attention, their motivation, their energy come from within themselves, and they are the well of God's will, and we are brothers. The only difference is I am the unifying center for this movement. If all focus on the center, they become one. And those who hear the word and manifest, and their motivation come from God, they, of course, are my brothers, and we work together to manifest this mission together. But if they lose the faith or motivation because they expect me to motivate them, then still it is ego who seeks the approval and motivation from external world instead of receiving from internal and realizing the word of God and coming forward with full force and absolute openness to do the will of God. Therefore, we can see ego is very tricky. Although we think we are the elect, we have to recognize that indeed we have to go through a lot more than what we think we know. Therefore, go and see the word, understand it, practice it, realize it, and come to the conclusion that this is the name of God. Then we can tell a Muslim that the name of God is not Allah. You cannot pronounce it. Tell the Jehovah Witnesses it's not Jehovah. To Christian, it's not Jesus, not even Isa, not even Yeshua. To the Jews, it is not Yahweh or Yeshua. To Hindus, it is not Krishna or Shiva or Brahma, not even Buddha. His name cannot be uttered. It cannot be pronounced in the external world. It is within you. You can hear it in a stillness of mind. When you are one with that stillness, you will know what is eternity, infinity. There is no question left. Indeed, there is eternity. There is infinity. But intellectually cannot be explained. Yes, indeed, God existed forever. Intellectually cannot be understood. What do you mean forever? There has to be a beginning somewhere. In that state, you know. And you don't have a question about that. The things that the intellect cannot explain, in that stillness, it is recognized. That was godliness is an experience. It's not an explanation. And now that experience has been open to everyone. Everyone can go, become initiated, hear the word, and recognize the infinity, eternity, forever, and oneness with God. But don't do it just because of that. If you do it and you truly are one with God, and you come back, and you become egoless, then it is a fantastic journey that you have embarked on, and that will call you to action. Now, of course, it's open to you and humanity. Athena has a question. Go ahead, Athena.
It says in So, Commentaries on St. Matthew, Tablet 1, verse 22, as described before, this spiritual name was, and then there's some Hebrew which is the abbreviation for a name closely pronounced Yeshua or the Savior, Shua, S-H-U-A, of Jehovah, also some Hebrew word. And then it says, shall save his people. His sacred name was revealed to Joseph. Why did God at that time decide to reveal his sacred name to Joseph? And that's what my question was. Shalom.
Yes, if you know Hebrew, the very yote vavte doesn't have any vowel. So in reality, you cannot say what that yote vote or yote shin vote means. The reason I know this is because it's very close to the alphabet of Persian and Arabic. And we know that Arabic and Hebrew both came from the same background. Of course, Persian came from Indo-European language, and then when the Arab came to Persia, now it's 75% of Persian language is Arabic. So we can see there is no vowel, and therefore you really cannot pronounce that what is called Yote Shin Vavte or Yote Vavte. It was revealed to the Hebrews. Abraham knew that, and it revealed it to the children of Israel, but they could not pronounce it or utter it. That's what they would be stoned, and that is what it meant to take the name of the Lord in vain. That is one of the Ten Commandments. Of course, God had to reveal that to Joseph, because that would be the name of his son, Esau. His true name of Christ is called Yote Shin Vavte. But truly, it cannot be pronounced, as we've seen and just explained, it doesn't have any vowel. If you don't have vowel in any language, it is not pronounceable. Actually, the words in Quran also originally was written with no vowel in it. That is why the discussion about is it Khatam or Khatem came from. Because there was no vowel, you can read it two ways. Khatam or Khatem. And therefore, the division in understanding what that word meant came about. So the name of Christ or the Messiah is indeed not pronounceable, but it was revealed to Joseph to know what his true name is. But he couldn't call him that name. That's why he gave the name Esau as his birth name. And by revealing to him the name of the son, he recognized he is the Messiah. That's why Joseph received the name, and God or the angel or the revelation to him was that he will be the Messiah, or in a crop word, Yeshua. When you see, though, it is Y, comma, Shua. That means it cannot really be pronounced. So in truth, the word only can be heard within you. It is the name of God. It is the essence of each man and is in every human. But God will not reveal it to you unless you purify yourself. Realize that God indeed sent all religions of the world. He has sent this revelation now as the ultimate revelation and the unification of all religion. No one has the truth until the seventh revelation comes. And when the seventh revelation comes, it explains more than any other prophet ever explained to humanity. So we can see that indeed all this thing has been fulfilled. And now humanity also have the name of the Lord. But the name of the Lord comes with a very heavy responsibility. It is not something you should take it lightly, but it reveals to you that God exists. He has a name, but it's not something that you can pronounce it. Christ indeed was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. His name and the Father merged together as one, and they are one. There is no separation between them. Especially when the Spirit of God is upon the Messiah or the Revealer or the Prophet. And when those words come through him, He and the Father are one, and there is no other way to go to God but Him. Joseph now knew his son has a great mission, and therefore he treated him as the Messiah, educated him as the Messiah. He took him to Egypt. He knew about Egyptian philosophy and mysticism and teachings. Then he himself went to Persia, learned from Magis, and then went to India and learned from Hindus, and to Tibet and learned from Lamas. And when he came back to Israel, he was 30 years old. And when he said, "Me and the Father are one," the Jewish people were petrified because they didn't know the teaching of the Far East philosophy and mystics. Mystics know their essence and God are one. But Jewish and Christian and Muslim and Baha'is, they don't. They think God is something up there that's different than them. That is why Muslim has such a hard time with Sufis. Sufis are mystic. They believe they can become one with God. And the Christian have a hard time with the saints, that they have power and they say, "I die in Christ every day and Christ is more in me and less of me is there." So the mystic knows that they can become one with God. Now, Joseph knew that his son would bring great teaching, and Christ came to Jews and taught them the mystical way of understanding the teachings, but they couldn't see it. They become very afraid of him and crucified him. Of course, that should have happened because God wanted to release the grace back to humanity, and that's exactly what Christ brought. Christ released the grace to man. Now we can receive the grace without doing all those rituals of killing and sacrificing that the Jews had to do, or Hebrews had to do. So that is the answer to your question. I hope that makes sense. Easy to Live is asking, "I was asked that question few months ago. We will recognize you by the fruit you bear. But who am I to judge of the fruit I bear if I have submitted them to God, and according to the teaching I have forgotten completely about it because they are not from me but from God?" The only way you can give fruit that will be recognized and accepted by God is the ones that you do toward the manifestation of this mission. Any fruit that you think you have done and given to God might have been accepted or not, but that is what we mean when we say, "You know them by their fruit." And who recognizes if you are giving fruit or not? It is the person who have brought the revelation and can tell you you are giving fruit or not if you ask him. You are giving fruit when you realize the teaching of the mission. You give fruit when you commit yourself to creation of the communities of light. You give fruit when you come and join and create the facilitating body in the mission. And although you surrender and submit the result to God and become a channel for Him, but what you manifest will be recognized with everyone, and everyone will see that indeed you are giving fruit, you are dedicated, you are coming to the room, you are reading, you are participating, you are coming to the rituals, you are creating communities of light, you become a contact, you reach wherever you are to spread this message, you spread the word, you tell people about the website, about the new revelation. You reach out. You come and join the mission as a staff. You do everything is needed for this mission to manifest. Therefore, this is the new wine, and the way to see if you indeed are giving fruit is if you are working toward manifestation of this mission. If you are not, and you are just staying on the sideline, then you might be an interested person, but not a supporter, a teacher, or a leader. We have three people in this mission that considered as the manifestors. The supporters, who support the mission physically, mentally, and spiritually. The teachers, who teach this mission every day in our room, in Pal Talk, or they go traveling and spread the message. And the leaders, who are not disheartened with small problems, but they are here to dedicate and strive to manifest anything needed to be manifested with the great zeal and motivation. And they receive all their motivation and dedication directly from God. And me and them become friends and co-workers. And they, of course, concentrate on me as the center of the unification, like a circle. A circle without a center never can be a circle. And if you have two centers in a circle, it no longer is a circle. It's become oval. And the circle is the most compact sign in the universe. There's nothing is more compact and tight as the circle. Therefore, there has to be one center, and everything has to be circled around that center. Therefore, in order for you to understand that what did that mean, the fruit is to recognize our teaching, realize God said this will come at this time. Indeed, we are in the period after the book with the seven seal is open, and that is the time that tribulation and upheaval will come to earth, and we can see all the signs. They are all over, from the west, from the east, from the south, from the north. Just listen to the news. It's amazing. It's depressing in a way what's happening on earth. And of course, in this time, by coming of this revelation, the grace of God has been released to whole humanity. They have to recognize that indeed the earth is flat in a sense of coming of the kingdom. Indeed, there is a person who wrote a book that the earth is flat. He recognized that the privileges between countries and nations and different places on earth is eroding very fast. Of course, that is not something new to us, as we have been telling everyone long time ago that now grace has been released to the whole human race and no longer belongs to a specific people or nations. And this is the time of unification, and not even the secular people realize that the privileges are taken away and the earth is flat. Humanity have to recognize that indeed it is time to realize if they have something greater, it's because of God and His grace. And that grace is now spread all over the earth. And that's why we see that those who want to continue having that privilege is having a hard time. Therefore, humanity have to recognize if we receive something great, if we become prosperous, if we have something that make us superior to other people, it is the will of God. It is His grace that we have received. It is not our doing, but it's God's doing. If we recognize that, then we become godly, because that is the only way you can receive the grace. Indeed, those who will become godly and turn to God and repent from what they do which is not godly will again receive the grace. So it is not our loss, but is a flat playing field now. And God is looking to see who will receive this revelation first and support it and become godly and oppose anything is not godly. That's the part of becoming godly, is do not accept which is not godly, no matter how intellectually they appeal to us. If it is not godly, you don't want to have nothing to do with it. And God is very clear what he wants. He wants the comings of light, awakening of the spiritual forces, being the natural way of living the way God intended, the dharma of things, following what is anything is created to be. He wants comings of light based on pure couples. He wants people in that community sacrifice and give of themselves to create the environment is needed for everyone to have their physiological and safety needs taken care of. Of course, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to do anything and I have no resources and I come and you share it with me. That's not the idea of sharing. Every member in the community have to become productive members in the community. God wants people to sacrifice in those communities and recognize what is their ability, what I can do in the community that can make it a better place for everybody. So become a productive member in the community and eventually realize that God is doing it through you. And whatever you do, it is God is doing it through you. Therefore, you shatter any ego attachment. And the next step, you completely become a universalist and recognize God is everything. Your home is the universe. Your father and mother are God, or is God. And you are a child of God, and you follow the eternal divine path. Then you will receive the grace for sure. God has said, those are elects, and they are the one that Christ called the salt of the world. And those are the apple of the eye of God. Indeed, the whole creation and the history is to create these beings, the elects. This is the call to these people. So if you have done something in the past which is good and you let God come through, great. Just forget about them. Come, join the mission, become an elect, follow eternal divine path, become a contact wherever you are, reach out for teaching, do whatever you can to help this mission, teach also the humanity, the whole humanity. See, this teaching is an educational state. It's in a state that we are reaching, letting humanity recognize and realize that God said there's going to be seven revelation. Muslims come to our room and say, no, Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet. But that's not what God says. The last prophet is the one who opened the seven seals, or the book sealed with the seven seals. It's the seventh angel. He is the line of tribe of Judah. When you compare our teaching with teaching of Prophet Muhammad, it's just amazing how much he didn't cover. And he said himself, I didn't cover. Or they say, well, Christ said, I am the only way. Yes, you're correct. But he comes seven times to bring the whole revelation. And indeed, he is the only way. Some people come and say, well, we have the freedom of choice. We are free to do whatever we want. You have freedom of choice to choose God or not to choose God. That's really only freedom of choice there is. If you choose God, then you become a channel of God, in God, for God and His word. So we can see how intellectuals are trying to use beautiful words to misguide you that, yes, you can do whatever you want. But that's not how the universe is being set up. The universe is being set up to go back to light, to go back to God. Therefore, if your opinion, your ideas, your freedom is against that original setup, then you are going against the will of God. Yes, you choose not to follow God. And therefore, accept the consequences of doing so. And the consequences of doing so has been given all through history. And God indeed created the history for man to learn, to go back to see. Whenever a nation become prosperous and powerful, they put God out. and those who do that, they fall. It's not what I am saying. I'm not opposing to any specific nation or people. That is the lesson of history. And why? Because you put the God out. You choose your free will. Your free will was to choose God or not to choose God. You choose not to choose God. And that's the only free will anybody can have. There is consequences by doing so. You have free will to do it, but also God has said that this is my way and my creation. I have created this way for a specific reason, and the reason is to go back to Him. This revelation is not about me or about God. It's about you returning home. And if we put all our effort and mind and actions based on that, not only we will return back home to God, which as we saw this week, we even give you the way to experience the Word and God, then we have the best grip of the reality of this universe. All effort should be toward going back home. At that time, there is not going to be any Messiah, there is not going to be any ego, there is not going to be, I am better than you, I am more powerful than the other person. The only thing we consider is how we can create an environment that accelerates the progress of everyone toward returning home. And that is the essence of the comings of light. Each person should forget about their ego, me, but the whole creation is created, all of us, to go home, and that's it all about. It's about returning home. Star Child Project, it says, God created history or we created history. Actually, history is His story. He created this man 12,000 years ago. If you go and study our teaching and recognize 12,000 years ago, an evolutionary step took place and the third eye of man was closed and the intellect was increased and we see things with two eyes and we think we know everything. Then, of course, he or God left man to create history and he interfered any time that it was necessary to guide man to next step. So, in a sense, it is his story of history because he was actively present in historical events. And as we know, nothing happened but if it is the will of God. So he brought some people that they choose not to follow God. He created nations like Romans, Athenians, Persians, Grecians. And all of them in the beginning were ethical. They were following some kind of strong ethical and pure base for their prosperity and conquering of other people. But when they prospered and reached the point that they become successful, they said, well, we are people that did this. We are the one created this environment. And they put God out. They choose not to include God. And then, of course, the grace was taken away and they failed. So we can see it is a kind of a two-way street. God gave grace to those people. They withdraw their belief and acceptance of God's way. And God withdrew, they fail. So they had some choices, but at the same time, it was God who guided them, gave them grace, took the grace. And therefore, we can see actually, it is really God who guided man to this point. But the point is, there is a lesson in history. The lesson is that God gives grace to people. They progress, they prosper. They should not forget about God. They should not put God out. They should follow eternal divine path. creation of the conversion of life, godliness, and bring the word of God to themselves. And even in prosperity, remember, it's not them. It is God's grace that make a nation or people great. And that's the message of history for the last 12,000 years. If we learn that, if we follow eternal divine path, if we recognize God indeed has sent this revelation to create the communities of light and bring the kingdom of God, and continue recognizing that in the future, the grace indeed will come back to us. Indeed, it is his story. It is the history that God created 12,000 years ago to be created for humanity. And now this message is telling everyone why he created history. God created history, therefore we learn this lesson. Star Child again is asking, how come whenever something horrible happens, it is blamed on man, us? And whenever something good happens, a miracle, it is definitely the cause of God. Because God is good. God has done the history not as a vicious act. Even the bad thing that might has happened in history is a lesson for humanity to learn. And of course, if humanity act based on ego, they will not do perfect things. Their ego decides and acts upon very limited information, and because it is selfish, it creates karma and it has consequences. But the consequence of their actions, of course, is from God, and it could be terrible. So the terrible thing doesn't happen because God created the terrible thing. The terrible thing happened because we have created karma or situations, then we have to pay for them. Therefore, whatever good happens is from God because God is good. And whatever terrible happens, it is our doing. That's why in this mission we teach, let God come through you. If he comes through you perfectly and 100%, you do not create karma, and bad thing would not happen on this earth. That is why whatever bad happens is the result of our doing, and whatever good happens is from God. Of course, through history, the situation has been created that in the eye of a man, it sounds terrible, but in reality, they are the lessons God sent for humanity to learn. Your question reminds me of the question of Arjuna from Krishna. There was a great war between different factions, and in that war, the family were against each other, father against the son, and son against the grandfather, and the uncle against cousin. Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna. Arjuna asked Krishna to take him closer to other army before the war. And he looked at other army, he saw his uncle, his grandfather, his family are up in arm against him. He was overwhelmed with sorrow and completely lost his motivation for war. And that is where the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna starts. Eventually, Krishna convinced him to go to war because that is the right thing to do. Although you might have to, you know, fight with your own family or your own kin or something that really bothering in human intellect. So we have to recognize that sometimes things happen because there is a good reason behind them.
Hephaestus has a question. Go ahead, Hephaestus.
My question is this. How does one decide who truly is either qualified or able or even should live in the community of light?
Of course, the ideal is he who have reached the elect position. But we are not naive to believe that anybody who walks to the door of the mission, they are elect and they are perfect. Indeed, it's proven for the last 25 years that is the wrong assumption. Communities of Light itself is a learning place, and those who come to the Communities of Light, they are not perfect. And God indeed revealed that it takes them 1,000 years to become a son of God or perfect. Therefore, it is a decision that has to be made with each individual, and that individual should jump to the opportunity and come and join wholeheartedly, at the same time recognize it is a Communities of Light, and there will be many lessons learned, and therefore you are prepared and willing to change, to correct, to overcome, to become one with the community, and able to manifest what is God ordained. And also, even in Communities of Light, there might be many different levels of participation. Some people might come and become absolutely dedicated 100% and become a teacher. There are people, they might come here and they have leadership ability, so we can work together and see how we can create mission in different places and reach out and eventually reach a point that we can send teachers all over the world. There are the people, they are the supporter. They support the mission with all their heart, mind, and spirit, and we can have enough resources so we can send those teachers all over the world and reach out. But being perfect coming here before even entering the Communities of Light is not the idea. The idea is to decide, yes, indeed, this is the revelation of God. This is the last word to humanity. It is time to come, create Communities of Light. I heard the call. I am ready. I drop everything and I come. If you do that, you indeed have manifested the first step of being an elect. You don't have excuses.
As Christ said,
they were invited for the wedding, and somebody said, well, my daughter has to get married, I can't come. Oh, my field needs to be plowed, I cannot come. So all excuses not to go to the wedding. This is indeed, again, the wedding which is calling the elect to come forward. What are our excuses not to go to the wedding? That's what anybody in the mission who hears this call have to ask themselves. Am I creating excuses not to do the will of God? And I am bringing all these excuses and I don't want to do the will of God. If you don't have any excuses left, you say, okay, I'm ready to go. Here I am and I'm here to manifest. Then, of course, we can see and what ability you have. If you are a PR person who have good PR ability, we put you in a place. Of course, at this time, they have very limited staff. We might all do a lot of things that we even don't like to do. But as more people come, eventually it will be divided to specialize people, what is everybody good at, and eventually, of course, each person does what they do the best they can. So the first question is that you have to decide. Is it from God? Is it the last revelation? Am I being called to do it? And then get rid of all the excuses and do it. So, that's the first step to recognize who is an elect. I hope that answered your question. Our time is up and over. Again, go to the website, see the word, see the holy name of God, experience it. Be very aware of the warning in that revelation. That if you are not elect, if you are not going to use that energy for creation of the Communities of Light and the kingdom, all your shortcoming will be magnified in such a way that they will overwhelm you. So it is truly a great revelation to man, I really hesitated for years and years and months recently to reveal it and let it go to humanity. But eventually I decided if the elect are out there, they will hear it, they will truly dedicate their life to God, as I have done. So be good, be with God, and know you indeed have come to a revelation that is for whole humanity, and the book with the seven seals is opened, and we are at the time of tribulation, and great upheaval will coming to man. But those who stay with God to the end, indeed, they will be his children. Salam, everybody.